Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning and welcome to Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis, and every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, we have a conversation about my favorite subject, that is taste. Why? Well, because it matters. And it's been some time since we've been back in the studio, actually. Some of you came with me to the Tsukiji Fish Market in Tokyo, where we walked through and saw some of the, well, saw, I guess you heard, I saw, you listened, and there are some photos online, some of the wonderful and intricate logistics and the sort of appreciation for quality that goes through that point in Japan and out to all points around the world, around Japan and around the world, and some of that fish even finds its way here to New York. But today we're in the studio, and we are here with some people who are actually behind some of the integral pieces of the taste of New York. I'm joined today here in Bushwick at Roberto's with Brett Sensitz and Ron Paprocki, who are both from Gotham Bar and Grill, one of the iconic restaurants of New York City, of downtown New York City specifically, but certainly of this thing we're talking about lately these days of New York cuisine. They were there first. I mean, there was the audacity to call a restaurant Gotham in the first place, put it in a neighborhood that you might not have found such an ambitious restaurant. And 30 years later, it's still an important place of the culinary fabric of the city. So thank you, Ron, thank you, Ron, the pastry chef, for joining me, and Brett, the managing partner, for being here in the studio.
Thank you, Mitchell. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about Gotham, because, I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about Gotham, but you said something interesting earlier that I don't think a lot of people necessarily think of, because in some memories, Gotham was the place you sort of got dressed up and went to, you know, for a special date or for a special thing. But I heard you say earlier that actually one of the surprises you had, Ron, after the 16 months that you've been the pastry chef there, is that it's actually a neighborhood restaurant, almost above sort of anything else. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing is when I started in May of 2012, and I knew a lot about Gotham. I had only dined there once prior. However, I knew that was a very special occasion place to be a part of, and I certainly wanted to be a part of that. And when I went there, I realized that it was really an area where all the locals are, and it is right in the heart of a neighborhood. Fifth Avenue is a few hundred feet mm-hmm. away from the restaurant. University Place is right there, and there's just so many people, New Yorkers, that live there.
Right. And that's interesting because it's still a grand space. We've actually had the original architect on our show, Jim Bieber. And it's still, you walk in and it's a neighborhood, but it isn't everyone's neighborhood. It's actually a sort of grand New York neighborhood. How does that play out in the front of the restaurant, the people you see, the expectations of the people who come there on a day-to-day basis, Brett?
Well, I think that one of the unique qualities about Gotham is that it is, there's a spectrum of people that come there every night. So we see a lot of people that we know on a regular basis. Every mm-hmm. night there's, you know, a number of people who we see either weekly or monthly or periodically through the year, whether it's business or social. But we also get every night a tremendous amount of tourists or people who are visiting New York City or coming in to celebrate or go to the theater. And I think that's one of the great things about Gotham is that it is people coming to have a special occasion, sitting next to somebody who's there on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and each table is having their own experience. And really uniquely, Gotham set itself up to do that, catering to the individual, giving them a unique experience according to what they were looking for.
Which I think may even be an almost unique New York composition of a dining room in some ways. But like, there aren't many cities in America where Gotham, the quality of the food, even not that it's an extremely expensive restaurant, but it isn't a cheap hamburger joint. But there aren't that many places where you would find that mix in that caliber of a restaurant, let's say, in America that I can even think of. And so mm-hmm. that composition, that mixture in the dining room is as much New York as anything.
Yeah, I think when Gotham was opened, it was originally the idea of Jerry Kretschmer, who is a notable New York figure and, mm-hmm. you know, was involved in government for a number of years. And, you know, it is an homage to the thing, to New York City. I mean, the artwork is all in the restaurant is about New York. And it is about, one of the great things about New York is that it is a real mix of experiences and people, and it always has been, and that's what makes this a great city and keeps it a great city, and that it is a melting pot, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, and that is Gotham's. It's true to that. We try to, and Ron can speak to this on the pastry side, but we, from a culinary perspective, we offer a range of experiences, but also from the front of the house perspective, mm-hmm. People coming there for a once a year celebration, and they want a really grand affair, tasting menu, et cetera. Or there's people who come in and they want their steak and potatoes and, you know, have a nice experience and get out. So it's that is in many ways what Gotham is about.
So to be an almost 30-year-old restaurant is a tremendous milestone, you know, in an industry and in a city where if you're 3 years old, you're considered sort of passé in some way. And to enter into that, you know, into the culinary scene, Ron, where Alfred Portale is so associated with a style of cooking and with some dishes that I'm sure he would love to take off the menu for the last 25 years but can't because they're so iconic of food. How do you fit your perspective? How do you bring freshness into that environment?
Well, definitely have to have a nice balance. Certainly, since we've been open for almost 30 years, we have the classic Gotham chocolate cake that's been on the menu. And that's one thing that is still to this day the number one seller at Gotham Bar and Grill for
that's
dessert.
That's funny. And not people, I served that at home. Like, people love to try to make it because isn't there a little bit of a trick to get it so amazing as it is in the restaurant? And people from the book I know love to make that. So it has actually come out beside the boundaries of the restaurant itself because it's so iconic. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And
so that's still there. You didn't say, did you want to take it off?
No.
No. Okay. No. Right. You just say, I'm coming, but I won't make this cake.
That was the first conversation we had that was not an option to have taken off. So, yes, there's some days that certainly other desserts outweigh the sales of the cake, but overall that's the number one seller. But certainly have a nice balance. Mm-hmm. Definitely have a lot more approachable, very simplistic or minimalistic desserts, but also incorporate some creativity, some more contemporary plating styles. But still, overall, the flavor profiles of any dessert, whether it's simple or complex on my menu, they need to be fresh, clean, and really be very approachable to the guests mm-hmm. of Gotham.
Well, I think, Mitchell, on the chocolate cake front, the thing that I think is also indicative of the spirit of Gotham mm-hmm. is that when Ron came in, you know, he actually is presenting the cake in a different way than previously. So
right.
we believe, like, Alfred believes in hiring somebody who has talent and intelligence,
point of view,
and then allow them to do what they do best. And so, like, Ron has changed the chocolate. He's changed some of the way that it's prepared and how it's plated to. But from the guest experience, it's still the same cake,
delicious chocolate cake. Right.
So we Alfred wants Ron's stamp, and he's given him the freedom, although can't take the chocolate cake off.
Right. Is there a hamburger on the menu anywhere?
At lunch we do. Okay. We do a burger.
Is it popular?
It's not overwhelmingly popular. It actually last
seafood
year.
Seafood cocktail salad must be popular.
The cocktail, the seafood salad is still, and actually Alfred last year redesigned it after I think 23 years of being on the menu in the same fashion. He once again changed it. which is
these are sort of luxuries most chefs never have. I mean, they could be seen as challenges or burdens, but the idea that you could have something so popular for 22 years or 30 years on a menu is just, it's kind of amazing that you become associated with the cuisine of a city just because of a few delicious dishes.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that like there are two or three dishes that I don't think Alfred will ever change. Mm. You know, he thinks that they represent, you know, the steak and the lamb are two dishes that he feels are, you know, iconic, and they represent what he likes the most. But the seafood salad, for instance, he said, you know, I want to change it. And
there he has the right, the prerogative, and he did. And it's still popular.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your inspiration for desserts, because you said that you sort of modernize and there's a complexity, and I'd like you to explain that with some examples a little bit. But there's been a trend I have noticed eating around the world, let's say, and the kitchens and restaurants are increasingly global, I think, in scope, and communication is so quick because of social media and stuff. But there's a trend away from sort of yummy desserts. And by that I mean, obviously, what I think is yummy, but you know, sweet flavors, fruits, things like that. And instead, they're interesting or they're complex. Or I was just served a mushroom granny tay as a dessert. And I'm just wondering what your perspective is on that. If obviously you're aware of what's going on, and whether any of that finds its way onto, let's say, the dessert menu at Gotham.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the mushroom granite.
I wasn't either, but whatever.
I definitely like to keep a very approachable aspect to my desserts. I want people to walk away feeling that everything was very tasty. And, you know, my approach is to really bring in flavors that are reminiscent of my childhood, but also of others. And definitely don't want to really scare people off. And one thing here is that at Gotham, desserts aren't a forced sale, meaning that there's not a price fix menu where we have at the last job that I worked at, it was an a la carte, three-course set menu or a tasting menu. And so desserts were forced. And
where was that?
And that was at Gordon Ramsay at the London. Mm-hmm. And now with that as a background, you can be more creative because you know you're going to have 100% dessert sales. And certainly when it's non-for sale, people can choose to say no.
Right, of course. And of course, the moral imperative these days is to say no for dessert in some way. You know, everyone's trying to deal with the wonderful, delicious food that they're faced with. So you have to do something to even be more enticing, I imagine, and mushrooms isn't going to do
it. Yeah, no. Definitely want to draw people in and not push them away by things like that. So definitely have a nice whimsical play on a lot of American classics. And, you know, when in Rome, you know, do what the Romans do. And I'm at Gotham Bar and Grill and definitely want to have very approachable, inviting desserts like a s'more sundae or the classic Gotham cake, apricot souffle,
peach melba,
key lime tart for two. Again, very approachable, tasty, simplistic desserts. And, you know, also inflicted in the dessert menu are also some more contemporary plating styles. And
what does that mean? Describe that for people listening.
Yes. For example, on the menu, I have a brownie dessert, and I believe it's called the brownie. And
sounds simple enough.
Right. It seems very harmless. And it's quite tasty, and it tastes
like a brownie.
But I use probably one of the most expensive chocolates in that brownie. I use a wild Bolivian chocolate that's hand harvested. It's not plantation grown, so it can't be certified organic. Wow. Can't certify a rainforest. But I use the best, most amazing chocolate that I can find that I believe is the best. And you know, I make the brownie with that, but then also I start to form other flavors around that. I have some nice fresh cherries that I macerate with cherry balsamic vinegar. We have some pistachios on there. Also have some lemon thyme ice cream and some other varying components. But overall, it doesn't look like a brownie or a typical brownie sundae when it's plated. It's plated more in a natural way that I like, and it looks almost like a log in the forest, and have just garnished with some nasturtium leaves as well, just to really kind of enhance that image that I want to convey. And you know, it looks very nice, mm-hmm. I think. It looks very organic, mm-hmm. and but the flavors are all there. It's when you see brownie on the menu, you're actually going to be eating a brownie.
Huh.
Well, so, I think mm-hmm. the other thing that to your point, Mitchell, is there's a strawberry dessert on the menu now where he is incorporating some savory flavors. Mm-hmm. It's got a celery component to it. So there is some, he takes the opportunity when he feels it's right and it matches with the flavors to incorporate an unusual combination. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe you can speak to the strawberry celery.
Yeah, there's one dessert that I have on the menu, the strawberry genoise, and essentially what that is, it's a layered cake with strawberry jam in the layers, and also garnished with celery cream. Mm. And we have compressed strawberries on there, but overall the main profile is strawberry with the complementary aspect of celery. The celery.
It's definitely not mushroom, but it
yeah.
I have nothing against mushrooms, but, and there are those candy cap mushrooms which taste like maple syrup and all that sort of stuff. But
yeah, but even so, it's one of the, I would say, least popular desserts, if I could say that.
Because you think because of that?
Because of the celery. And the celery, I think, is very mainstream as opposed to, again, mushroom. But I know that if I were to put on the menu a strawberry genoise.
Yeah, I was going to say, just leave it off. Don't tell them.
Well, yeah, if I say strawberry genoise with vanilla Bavarian,
right.
it'll probably be...
Don't even mention it. They'll order it anyway, and they'll say, this is delicious. What fruit is this? Right. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Brent Says... Sorry, I get this wrong. Sensitz, which is not spelled the way it sounds, but Brett is the managing partner of Gotham Bar & Grill, and Ron Paprocki is the pastry chef at Gotham Bar & Grill, one of the iconic great restaurants of New York City, 30 years after its opening. And you're listening to Taste Matters, where we'll be right back.
This song is called Vroom Vroom by Ball of Flame Shoot Fire. And as you know, you are listening to Taste Matters on heritageradionetwork.org. Keep it locked.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis, and I'm talking with Brett Sensitz, the managing partner of Gotham Bar & Grill, and Gotham's pastry chef, Ron Paprocki. And we're talking about sort of operating an iconic restaurant 30 years after opening and keeping it modern, keeping it a destination for celebrations, and also a fixture in a neighborhood, an important neighborhood. It happens to be just down the street from the James Beard House. But so that's how good a neighborhood it is. Let's talk about that a little bit, because one of the things that it's actually come up quite a bit lately on panels and in conversations I've had about New York cuisine and what's happening on the dining scene, and that is this increasingly global world of restaurants has led to a change in the nature of the experience in some sense. And one of the classic examples, I think, is 11 Madison Park, which is also an iconic New York restaurant. But due to its profile on lists and whatever you think of those things, the composition of the dining room has changed, probably more like the London where you worked, Ron, than Gotham, perhaps. And so they switched from an a la carte menu to a less choice menu to a totally degustation menu, no choices at all, partly in reaction to the 85% not New York City clientele. hotel, and it changes the nature of that restaurant. I'm not making a judgment better or worse, but you know, if I want to go meet someone for lunch, I might go to Gotham. If I want to have a 3.5-4 hour lunch and have an experience at a New York restaurant, I might go to 11 Madison Park. Are you aware of trying to maintain a relevance in that space, in this changing space, and still continue to be at the top of your game?
Absolutely. In fact, 2 years ago, we redesigned our menu as a reaction to that. We were getting increasingly requests for tasting menus. Mm. People wanted to come in and experience not just one dish from Alfred, but they wanted to see a range. And so Alfred incorporated that. He said, "Well, let's do a tasting menu. Let's put it on the menu. Let's add more market selections." At the same time, Gotham wants to be more or different than, say, 11 Madison, which is really the height of culinary experience in many ways. And I think what they're doing at 11 Madison is dynamic and fascinating, and it's definitely something that I appreciate when I go there. But Gotham is also, as Ron said earlier, a neighborhood restaurant.
Right.
It's there for people to come and have a quick business dinner at 6:30 and then be out at 8. As a chef, I think Alfred loves to do tasting menus.
Mm-hmm.
But as a restaurant, you know, we're there to create an environment for people to have an experience. And I think that's very important to Alfred and the other owners at Gotham. So we're very mindful of keeping that in balance. Mm.
How is a restaurant, both in the kitchen and outside the kitchen, do you deal with the world that in some ways the Beard Foundation we created, where you're constantly in demand for events, for getting to festivals, for participating in charity fundraisers, James Beard auctions and events, and at the same time sort of keeping your core and your center? Just yesterday someone asked me about a restaurant where they could find a chef who isn't 21 years old but who is still in the restaurant. I thought, well, Alfred's at Gotham, and that's not always true at someone at his stage of the career at a restaurant at that point in its life cycle. How do you juggle that? I mean, and still stay.
Well, I would say that I have to thank the James Beard Foundation for creating this culture or helping create it, because I think it's allowed me the pleasure of an existence that I love, and I love I think being part of not just a restaurant, but of a city and of a culture, and in many ways of this country. I mean, the culinary evolution in America has been tremendous and has created a lot of opportunity for a variety of people, including chefs and pastry chefs and cooks and front of the house people in the wine world. It's definitely difficult at times, particularly, say, in the fall, when there are, six charity events, and it's also the busiest quarter of the year
for the restaurant.
We definitely try to. I mean, we make decisions.
Right.
We like to partner with people that we know, and we like to participate in charity events. We like to. Alfred loves to support various organizations and anything food related.
Are those decisions, and I'm asking purely, well, I'm asking to know, like, I don't know the answer for anyone really, but are those decisions based on community? Are they based on marketing? Are they based on business, or a combination of all of them? What you do and what you don't do?
I think it's a combination of all of them, but it's definitely community is a big part of it, in the sense that we look for things that make sense for the restaurant, or if one of the partners or myself or Ron or Alfred has a specific relationship that's important. So that's how we do it.
Right.
I mean, we do look at it in some ways as a marketing tool. And I'm not sure how to value that.
Right.
But,
I just realizing that I forgot to tell people listening that we are live and we can take calls and questions in the few minutes we have remaining. You can dial us at 718-497-2128. Or if you're listening to the podcast or you prefer to communicate via the computer, you can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org or even tweet us at TasteMattersHRN. In an environment, Ron, where you're out there representing the restaurant or even on a day-to-day basis, are you taking into account... How much do you take into account the stature of Gotham in the restaurant scene, the identity of Gotham, or are you sort of fitting yourself into that, or are you helping to bring it to a new place?
Coming into Gotham, I had my own vision of how I wanted to revamp everything and my own ideas of plating, etc. And then after being immersed into Gotham, then I better understood the clientele and what people are after. And when I go to events, even I did the Chefs and Champagne out in the Hamptons there a couple weeks ago, you know, people are coming to our stand, did a very approachable peach Melba in a vereen in the glass.
Approachable and delicious.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It pairs perfectly with champagne.
Yes.
And, people are coming up saying, oh, Gotham Bar and Grill, I love that restaurant. We go there every year.
Very well.
And, you really get a sense of community in a way where so many people recognize that restaurant and they identify with the flavors and the tastes and keep on coming back for that reason because they have that
relationship.
Exactly.
I don't mean to harp on it, but I do think that people often don't take it into account when they're thinking about how a restaurant operates or how a chef creates or whatever, that the reality is that you are part of a community and or of a neighborhood or of a city, and that you negotiate what people want in that environment, what they expect, and also how to create and operate within the parameters that gives you. It isn't always obvious, let's say.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of trial and error. Certainly when a new dish goes on the menu, I'm very, receptive to any and all comments, positive or negative, because I really want to get that feedback to help tweak it. Because there's so many people that return on daily, weekly visits there where I want to have something that that they can all identify with and
order. Over time, I imagine, even those people who come back, obviously they're participating in the world and seeing the evolution of food, and their tastes must change and their expectations, even though they have a memory from 20 years ago of their first date at Gotham and now it's their 18th anniversary, but everything has changed around them also, so that also has to play into the way that you deliver service, the way that you prepare a dessert.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's instructive in many ways, Mitchell, to think about the fact that I've only been at Gotham for 7 years now. Ron's only been there 2 years. And, we come in and this is the way the partners and the ownership is structured. Like, again, how do we now look at what is happening in the food scene, what's happening in desserts, what's happening in service, and how do we respond to that? Mm-hmm. And we say to Ron, we want your stamp on this. We want the chef working under Alfred to the younger chefs to be a part of it. They allowed me to change as I felt. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly responding, thinking, creating at Gotham, and it's a great place to be.
Indeed, whether you're working there or having lunch there. and in the last few minutes we have, I think we should talk about the fact that the restaurant and where you work is in the shadow of the Union Square Green Market, which is an incredible urban agricultural phenomenon. And yet, although some other restaurants have done so much to associate themselves with the farm to table, the market, whatever, that you don't always associate Gotham, especially just because of the name, with that market. But it plays a really important role, I think, in the experience there and in the desserts, in the menu, in the proximity to the ingredients. Can you talk about that a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, the market just being so close, it's a block and a half away. It's very convenient, but certainly it throughout the summer it's a major artery of sourcing our ingredients, and definitely purchase within reason what we can from the market, and you know, in our menu items reflect that during the course of the summer.
Brett, do people come because of the neighborhood aspect of what you're doing? Do they know what's there and say, like, want a tomato salad because they just walk through on their way to dinner? Does that happen?
You know, I don't think that we see that direct correlation. I think that what's really great about where we're located is that we're sort of centered between what is, I think, one of the most iconic farmers market maybe in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, and that started in the 70s at Union Square, and Grow NYC is the organization that manages it, and they've really grown that to now, I think there's 52, and I may be off by a few, around the city, where farmers are able to come and sell directly to a consumer in arguably the freshest possible manner. Mm-hmm. So we began, Alfred very early on started working with the farmers at Union Square, and he'll tell you that what was available then versus now is extraordinary.
Of course.
And it's made the chef's job at one level easier because you have access. At another level, it's more, you know, the challenge is greater because now the creativity has to be upped, because it's not just about sourcing ingredients, it's about what you do with those ingredients.
Right.
So the correlation between us and the market is not so direct in the sense that the consumer is asking, "Oh, I want a tomato that I just saw from Tim mm-hmm. Stark at the market." But it's definitely an inspiration for, I think, the culinary side. I know that Alfred will walk through the market just to, and not even buy, but just to see
right.
and draw from what's coming in. And the great thing about the farmers at the Union Square Market is that they're constantly also innovating and bringing
sure.
in new products.
Of course.
You know,
pretty amazing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and we're very lucky to be between the James Beard Foundation and Union Square Green Market.
Well, and we're lucky that you are there. Thank you both for joining me, Brent Sensitz, the managing partner, and Ron Paprocki, the pastry chef at Gotham Bar and Grill. It's been great talking to you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Next week on Taste Matters, we're going to be talking to a neighbor just a little bit farther down the block. David Chang is going to join us here in the studio and talk about a whole other aspect, although part of this iconic New York moment in food that we're also fortunate to be in. In the meantime, if you haven't been to Gotham for a while, why don't you go for lunch or go for dinner and remember just how wonderful it is to be so well cared for and how lucky you are to have such a great restaurant in your neighborhood. Thanks very much. This is Taste Matters.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.